Me borgen zelfs me borgen. That's right. It's parshas achodesh and parshas me borgen. But Yaakov Moshe Shemot to God, it's called Basmei Yisrael Yevolehim, I sent them Eilech HaDvarim, and I sent them Eilech HaDvarim, Asher Tziva Hashem La'asai Sassam. These are the following things that I'm commanding you to do. Rashi. By Yaakov Moshe, when did this take place? L'moch Rasim HaKippurim. Okay, this took place the day after Yom Kippur, Kishiyorad Benahar. V'hu L'loshon Hifil. Now, what does it mean with Vayakhel? Does this mean that Moshe Rabbeinu himself, he took his bare hands, he went and he picked up, you come here, you, he picked up people? No. Vayakhel means he caused. He caused people to be gathered. How do you cause people to be gathered? She'ino oisef adashim biyadayim, elehein ne'asofim al pi diburoi. They were gathered through his command, v'targumai, oh, here's what we learn over here in the shir, v'targumai v'achnesh. V'achnesh, what does that mean? We have to see in a moment. Okay, but the first thing over here that all Rashi comes to focus on is that Rashi tells us two yesodos about this pasuk. Number one, he tells us the date. This took place the day after Yom Kippur. Moshe went to Shemayim. He went to Shemayim on Vav, on Zayin Sivan. Okay, or Ches Sivan. And he came down. He went three shots of 40 days. And the last of the 40 days ended on Yom Kippur. And the day when he came down, what did he tell them after Yom Kippur? After Yom Kippur was over, he told them about Shabbos. Isn't that interesting? The day when he came down, Yom Kippur is Shabbos. Yom Kippur is Shabbos, Shabbosoin. And the day after Yom Kippur, he taught them about Shabbos. Okay, let's see the Targum. Targum over here says, Vayakel v'achnesh. Now right away we see over here, we have over here another Nusach Acher Uchanash. Now that's very, very interesting. How could there be another Nusach called Uchanash when Rashi says the correct Yirsa is V'targumai v'achnesh? Isn't that strange? If Rashi goes out of his way to tell you what the Girsa is, the Achnesh, how then can it possibly be there's another Girsa? Okay, obviously they put in this Chumash Nusach Acher Uchanash, and I'm assuming that this Chumash from all of the Chumashim, the Targum is accurate because this is a Sefer on Targum. It would be very funny if the Mechaber of this Sefer did not put in his edition a Targum that's very accurate. Okay, some of the old Chumashim, people had a complaint against that it's not accurate. You know, I know a person, I know him, I know who he is, and actually his father used to come to our shir. His father used to come to our shir, and in fact, his father passed away. His father passed away a while ago. In the beginning, he comes to the shir, and I know his son. His son is a very big Talmud Chacham. A shtikl kanoi. It's a shtikl kanoi. And he's not, and he, I don't think he's a very big fan of art scroll. I don't think for whatever reason, though, some of these people, they have an axe to grind. They don't like art school for some reason. But I remember him telling me that he's very impressed with the art scroll, you know, the Shul Chumash, the classic Shul Chumash, the classic, you know, art scroll. They've dominated the whole market. Everyone has that blue Chumash in their Shul. He says he's very impressed with the Targum in the art scroll blue Chumash. Because he's a very big Targum person. He learned Shnai Mikvech Targum. He knows Targum inside out, and he's into it. And he said that the Targum, the edition of Targum that they selected, or what they did, how they did it, he was very, very impressed. He has not seen the Chumash yet that went into so much effort to produce such a precise and accurate edition of Targum in their Chumash. Okay, so I have to go see what it says in the Arshul Chumash. Over here we have Nusach Acher. This is not the Arshul. This is a different edition. Uchanash. V'achnesh Moshe Yoskol Kinishto D'bnei Yisrael V'amar Lochein Ilein Piskamayo. These are...
In Arshul also two versions.
Two versions. Okay, also two versions. Uchanash. Very good, very good. Yoskol Kinishto, all the entire assembly, D'bnei Yisrael V'amar Lochein Ilein, these are Piskamayo. These are the Dvarim. The word Dvarim is not an easy word to translate. These are the matters. Elaine, these are the Piskamayot. Defakeid Hashem means to command. Lemevad Yosoin, to do them. Now let's see over here the Perish. Vachnesh Loshon Hifil. Okay, so the word Vachnesh in Aramaic also means cause, causative. Moshe did not go physically from door to door, grab people by their hands, by their legs, by their hair. Some people don't have any hair to hold on to. If you have some hair on your head, maybe you can grab them by their hair, but they don't have any hair to hold on. Some people say, yeah, grab. He did not do that. Moshe, he caused the people to be assembled. There was an announcement made. There was a text message that was sent, a WhatsApp that was circulated to all of the members, and everyone came flocking. He tweeted. Moshe had a Twitter account. He sent out a tweet, everyone should please come. He caused that the people be assembled. Okay, it was not oitzef anoshim biyodayim. Ela hein ne'asofim al pi diburoi. V'targumu v'yachnesh, perish, Moshe lo'yosaf, ela goram lohem lo'yosef. Lefi sheyesh unkelis, shtei nuchoy. So here's what he's coming to touch upon that we just mentioned. Because in unkelis we have two nuschois. We have the word v'yachnesh, v'yachnesh, and v'chonash. Lefichach, kosaf, she'ikor v'yachnesh. So it's quoted from the Gur Aryeh. Okay, so the Maral says that that's exactly what Rashi, because the word v'chonash, the other girsa is uchanash in Rashi, nusachacha, that means Moshe Rabbeinu directly. Moshe with his bare hands. He went from tent to tent, and he took the people, he grabbed them, and said, you come with me. No, that would be correct if it's in uchanash. But being the girsa, the correct girsa here is, what do I do over here, one second. But the correct girsa here is v'ach nesh, which means to cause others to be gathered. Okay, now let's go further. Avol b'targum yoynasan ben uziel hagirsu chanash. Ah, so now we're really getting down to the meat. We're getting now down to the meat over here. But the targum yoynasan ben uziel, the girsa is uchanash. V'chein b'chumashim. Okay, in the chumashim, what chumashim? I don't know what he's talking about. If the art school says uchanash, so what do you mean the chumashim? Hakel esa'am, okay, there's another word, hak in Devarim, kinoish yos amoy. Amoy, in Devarim it says hakel, the same word, and there the targum says kinoish. V'chein v'yakel Moshe v'yaron, targum uchunoshu Moshe v'yaron. Moshe and Aaron directly gather them. U'kvar hikshu hara'im, hara'im is Rabbi Avraham Mizrahi, hara'im is the Mizrahi, al Rashi, it's probably the most popular parish in Rashi. The Mizrahi is the father of all super commentaries. I never knew this until much later in life. There's a commentary, and there's something called a super commentary. What is a super commentary in English? A commentary on a commentary. So the Mizrahi is a super commentary. Rashi is a commentary on Chumash, and the Mizrahi is a commentary on Rashi. Shalafi Devarav, Lama Lashon Asifa Bar Nashim. So according to me explains, Lama Lashon Asifa Bar Nashim, Hatargum Bab Lashon Kal, Kinash, V'loi Behifil. So what's he saying over here? He's saying, Shalafi Devarav, Lama Lashon Asifa Bo Anashim. I don't know what that means. Hatargum Bab Lashon Kal, Kinash, V'loi Behifil. Okay. Let's go further. Maybe we'll understand this. Uvnuschois hamedu yokois asher biyodenu hagir sekan hi uchenash. Woo! What's going on over here? Who's saying this? Who's he saying this from over here? Adkan. Okay, he's saying over here from the Mizrahi. Nochemo. The Mizrahi says ukvar hiksha hareim al Rashi. The Mizrahi is shalafi devod of lama loshen asifa ba'anoshim. Hatargum babaloshim kal kenash v'loy behifil. He's just asking a question. That's what it means. He's asking a question. According to Rashi, that says that the word vayakel means to cause. Why then is there an inconsistency in parshas in Bamidbar perikud aleph pasuk of dalid v'oyder? Okay, we're not going to go into this because I don't know. I didn't prepare any of this, obviously, but the Mizrahi is taking issue with Rashi by noting that there are contradictions. If Rashi over here is going to translate the word vayakel to mean to cause others to be gathered, why then when you have the pasuk, you have the word asifa? Okay, this is a lot of some heavy duty grammar here, which I didn't prepare. Okay, let's leave it with that there appears to be contradictions in Chamish Chumash Torah as to the correct the usage of the word vayakhel. Does it mean a direct gathering or does it mean causative? And then he says over here, the author of this sefer, who died not that long ago, pretty recently, he says, "Uvenuschois hamidu yokois hamidu yokois asher biyadeinu agir sakan hi uchenash." He says that some of the best editions of Targum that we have available to us today. Why are they the best? I don't know what the standard is to define what's called miduyok, precise. The girsa is not like what Rashi says. The girsa is uchenash, like this, the nusach acher uchenash, not the ach nesh. All right, so that's it. We'll leave it with that. Now, by the way, obviously, this is going to have a very big nafkamina in trying to understand. There's going to be a very big nafkamina over here in trying to understand what exactly is going on. Now, let's go back to Rashi very quickly. Okay, let's go back to Rashi. Rashi starts by telling us over here, it's Vayakel Moshe L'moch Rosh Yom Kippur Kishor Menahar. Rashi learns it was the day after Yom Kippur. It was the day after Yom Kippur. And Kishor Moshe Menahar Vu Loshen Hifil She'enu Oisef Anoshen B'Yodayim. He's not gathering them B'Yodayim. That's when the Mizrahi was coming to take issue with the word Oisef. Because there you have the word over there, the word hakel together with the word asifa. Okay, let's not go into all the nitty-gritty. And Moshe Ella min Elahein Nesaf al Pidiburoi Vitargumoi. And he quotes the Targum Vachnesh. Okay, the Aleph is there to cause others to be gathered. Why is Rashi telling us Lemacharos Yoim Hakipurim Kishayarad min Ahar? It has to be that this expression here is coming to prove, Rashi's proof, that Moshe Rabbeinu did not physically gather the Jewish people, but rather he caused them to be gathered. Now, if we make a calculation, and what was he coming to teach them? He was coming to teach them about Shabbos, as Koladas B'nei Yisrael. We have to put this aside for now, and maybe we'll figure this out, we'll come back to this soon, to figure out what's the proof, what is the relationship between the Mocharas, Yom HaKippurim, to Moshe Rabbeinu not physically gathering the people, but having them come together on his own. Okay, let's put that aside for one moment. Let's now go into Shabbos, Pasuk Beis. Shei Shes Yomim Te'oseh Melacha. Okay, it could be this is where it comes into play, the word Te'oseh. 6 days, Te'oseh Melacha, you will do. Doesn't mean you will do or it will be done. It will be done. Te'oseh melacha. Does not say here, ya'aseh melacha. It says the work will be done. Who's doing the work? Not you. It says the work will be done. Melachtam na'aseis al yidei achirim. Chazal tell us, the Bizman, she'Yisrael oisim ritzoyne shel makayim, they do not have to work. Their work is done by other people. Melachtam naaseis al yidei achirim. 6 days te'oseh melacha, work will be done. Doesn't say you shall do the work. Someone will do the work for you. That means you're not doing it. Go back to the beginning of the pasuk. Vayakel Moshe. Moshe is not working. I'm not doing the work. Let someone else do the work. There's a consistency. Now, why is there a consistency here? Okay, was Dafka after Yom Kippur. Let's go further. Uvayom Hashvi, on Shabbos, Iye Lochem shall be for you Kodesh, holy. Shabbos Shabboson LaHashem, a holy day to Hashem. Kol Oisavei Melacha, you must, anyone that is Melacha shall be put to death. Rashi, Pasuk Beis. There is Rashi, Sheish Yomim Hiktim Lochem Ashar Shabbos, Tzivei Melacha Zamishkon, Loimar, She'ene Doicha Esa Shabbos. Rashi is telling us that most of this parashah is going to deal with building the Mishkan. Before the Mishkan, we're going to learn about Shabbos. For what purpose? I teach you that Melacha on Shabbos is not the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, does not override Shabbos. Shabbos is more important than the Beis HaMikdash. Even though it would appear, you may argue that the building of the Beis HaMikdash, there can be nothing more important. To go build an abode for Hashem in this world, no, that's not true. Shabbos is more important. Now, let's take a look at the Targum. Targum over here says, Shita Yoimin, 6 days, tisaved avidita. Now, what's that word tisaved? The word tisaved, I think, is mashma, you shall actually do work. You shall do work. Now, it doesn't mean teosle, we have to see one moment. Uvayoma shviya, on day 7, yehelechon kutsha, shall be for your holiness. Shabbat, Shabbosah, kodem Hashem, for Hashem, called the aved be avidita, anyone who does malacha, anyone who does malacha on this day, yisketel, anyone who does malacha on this day will be put to death. Now let's see over here the parish on the side. Yisketel yehorek avol shakavon misa bidei shamayim. Hatargum ba b'loshem misa. The targum used b'loshem misa. Now he's not really explaining very much. Okay, now what I think over here is, I think if I'm not mistaken, the word tis aved means you shall do work yourself. It would appear, it could be I'm totally wrong, and maybe someone can help me if I'm wrong. It would appear there's a degree of consistency between Moshe, what he's doing, and what the people are being told. Targum, he told us in the Nuschois that in Beduyokois, the word is Uchenash. Uchenash means Moshe himself went to collect the people. And he told them for 6 days, tis aved avidita, which means you yourself go out into the fields and get to work. Just like I am working, I'm not sitting in a castle, an ivory tower, and giving instructions, and other people are doing the work for me. I'm getting my hands dirty. My job is to lead you. I'm going from tent to tent to rally you to come to this meeting. I want to speak to all of you. And I'm telling you, you shall work. Sheishes yomim te'ose melacha. Now we ordinarily translate the word te'ose. The Targum seems tis'aved avidita. It shall be done melacha. Maybe I'm wrong. This word has to be clearly defined. It could be the Targum learns that Moshe is telling them to actually work. And if Moshe is telling them to work, Moshe cannot be hypocrite. Moshe also has to work. Moshe is Uchenash. Moshe is gathering them. But if you want to learn that Moshe is not working, so Moshe is not working, he can't tell people, listen, I'm not working so hard. I'm sitting home. I'm just making an announcement. Let it be known. I want to speak to you all of you people. And they all come. But Moshe did not do anything physical. So when Moshe tells them about work, he doesn't say to them, go work. He says, work shall be done. Okay, is there any truth to what I just told you? I don't know. We have to go further. Next. Loi. Next. Now we come over here to, we go to the pasuk over here. Pasuk Gimel. Loi tzvaru ish. Do not kindle a fire. B'chol Moshe v'asechem yom ha-shabbos. No kindling a fire in all of your dwelling place on yom ha-shabbos. What does that mean? Pasuk Gimel. Rashi. Now, what does that mean? How many labors, how many malachas there on Shabbos? Well, we all know there are 39. Everyone knows there are 39 categories of malacha. But what's the question? If a person violates the malacha, is he chayiv misa? So there's a dispute in the Gemara. According to one opinion, a person can be chayiv misa for all 39 categories of labor. Every single one. And the other opinion says no. A person can only be chayiv misa for 38 of the 39 categories of labor. But if a person lights a fire on Shabbos, he is not chayiv misa. He's only in violation of a loisaseh. A loisaseh, which the punishment is not death, it is not kores, it is lashes. Okay, so we have two opinions in the Gemara as to how many labors one can die. What and what is the dispute? What is the point of disagreement? This very pasuk, where it says, why does the Torah specify from all the 39 categories of labor, does it only specify fire? Why there are 39 categories of labor? There's plowing, there's planting, there is dyeing wool, there is baking bread, there is writing, there is winnowing. There are so many different categories of labor. Why do we specify specifically fire? So one opinion says because it is the exception. The Pasuk of Yer presents it as a loisase to tell you that you're only going to get Malkus, there is not going to be Nisan. And the other opinion comes along and says, L'chalik Yotzis, to teach you that what would happen if a person would do on Shabbos all 39 categories of labor? How many punishments would he get? Now you'll say, well, once he's dead, he's dead. Well, let's say he does it by accident. So the rule is you have to do a special carbon for each violation. So what happens if a person by accident violates all 39 categories of labor? How many carbonas does he have to bring? So you would say one, because Shabbos is Shabbos. It's only one Shabbos. So if I violated all 39 categories of labor by accidentally bring one. Along comes the Gemara that says no. Just like it says, it's separate. The Torah specified fire separately. It's to teach you that for just like for fire, you'll get a separate carbon. If a person by accident he lights a fire on Shabbos, he's going to be high, he has to be removing a carbon. Likewise, if he does any of the other labors on Shabbos, you're only going to get, you're going to bring a carbon. You get carbon for all of them. Each one obligates the individual to bring a separate sacrifice. Okay, so that's the machlekes. That's Rashi. Now let's see the Targum. Targum where it says 6 days. Lo sevarun ashiso fire b'chol mosivonehoin. That means in your dwelling places. B'yoyma de Shabbos. Targum. Okay, that's the Targum. The perush. Lo sevarun. Amlam tirgim kolosh nakosiv. Avol tzach tam lama shinda mimash tirgim hamavir esabera. With there he said the adlik yos dal kosa. Yesh oimim shel el beduba behamaschil lahalik beham tziso eish. Avol kan lo sevarun bol esagam lo chaytsev etzim. Choimer achar le'esh kayemis. Av v'niach lav v'mashik far hudlak me'er v'shabes enoy me'inyin ha'mikwa kan klal sh'mevadai mutav v'duloy kedas ha'kiro'im av v'dasan v'tziv l'fi p'shutoy shal mikwa yesh isu l'shabes shal v'lechas ha'mishkor afil yesh v'nish'ar v'duluka m'lefne Shabbos. Okay, he's saying over here an enormous number of chidushim over here in this parish. Here we go. Number one, let's go slow. First question over here is the Mefarish here is presenting a contradiction in the words of the Targum. Here, when it comes to Shabbos, it says the word loisevaru, havara. This word has already been said before in Parashas Mishpatim. In Parashas Mishpatim, it talks about a person who lights a fire. One of the Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Masechet Bava Kamma, a person. There are four different types of damage. Shor, bor, maver, heve. And according to one opinion, hever is fire. A person who kindles a fire and he does not guard it, and the fire goes forth and causes damage. The person who kindled the fire is obligated to pay the damages. What's the chiddush? You can argue, I didn't do it. I kindled a fire in my property. How am I supposed to know that the fire is going to spread and cause damage 10 miles away? I lit a match in my backyard in California. How am I supposed to know it's going to go start a forest fire and burn down the whole California and cause trillions of dollars of damage? Why am I responsible? I did it in my rishus. The fire traveled on its own. Fire has a mind of its own. There's wind that blows it. There has to be fuel. I'm not responsible for this. Why are you coming to blame me for this? So that's exactly what the Pasuk tells you in the Parashat Mishpatim. There's no excuses. If you kindle a fire and it's in a dangerous area where there's an expectation, where it's possible, where it can go and it can spread, you indeed are guilty. So the problem is the word hamavir es habeira. Hamavir, the one that kindles the fire. And how does the Targum translate the word hamavir in that pasuk? He translates the word de'adlik, de'adlik. And here, how does the Targum translate the word do not fire? It doesn't say the word de'adlik. The word is sivarun. he basically takes the Hebrew word in the pasuk and uses it for his translation. So the Ma'atzori is the question. We have a contradiction when it comes to the parsha of Mishpatim, where it says the Adlik, it says the word Hamavir Es Habeira, a person lights a fire and the fire goes forth and causes damage. The Targum translates the word Hamavir with the word De Adlik. And here in Parshas Vayakel, when the Torah presents a prohibition to light a fire on Shabbos, Lo Sivaru, he does not say doesn't say the word adlik. He doesn't translate the word fire as adlik. He says the word lo sivarun. So we have so what's the answer? So he says an incredible chiddush. He says is that there are different types of fires or different actions relating to fire. Yesh oimer. Some say shel elmedu behamaschil lahadlik behamtzis oish. In Parshas Mishpatim, we are describing the striking of the match. If a person, the chiyuv for damages is when you strike the match. Here in Parshas Vayakel, when we are describing the punishment for fire on Shabbos, it's even more severe. It is for an existing fire. If you add fuel to an existing fire, for that alone there is a chiyuv misa, or there is a punishment. In other words, if you have people on Shabbos, the range is on. Before Shabbos, you turn on the range, and you note that the cholent is going to be warm. It's the fire is not strong enough to cook the cholent. So what does the person do? Listen, the fire already is on. What am I doing already? The fire is... I'm just turning up the gas. A little more gas. Just a mash of more gas to make the fire stronger. That's not called making a fire. The Torah says, L'savaruesh, which means, like in the parasha, similar to what it says in the parasha's Mishpatim, do not strike the match. Don't go from nothing to something. Yesh me'ayin. Like Adam, Mitzvah Shabbos, Hashem inspired him to rub together two stones together, and that caused a spark to come out. Mayor, you here, Mayor? Mayor, you listening?
Yes, yes.
Why would Adam go and rub two stones together? Why? It must be his wife. He had a fight with his wife. He did the sugar things. Takes two stones. It's gotta be. He became a sugar because he had a fight with Chava, because Chava gave him to eat. How else do you explain that story? All right, any event, just joking, Mayor. But in any event, we have over here in the parasha of Mishpatim, it was the initial kindling of fire. In Parshas Vayakel, it's not to make fire, it is to do something to add to an existing fire. Which, according to the Rashi, according to what he's suggesting, I don't know all the details, but one thing is for sure. When it comes to Shabbos, a person is chayef for fire if he does one of those two things. That's poshut. That's a given. I guess it's part of the raya, part of the proof that if a person on Shabbos, he lights and he strikes a match, or if he adds fuel to a pre-existing fire, he is in 100% violation of a halacha, and he's obligated, he's guilty. Now, I don't know the halacha b'diyuk, but what happens when it comes to nizakin, chesh mishpat? There is, if there's a pre-existing fire, and a person just adds more fuel to the fire, is his obligation of damages, paying for damages, equal to the person who actually lights the match? Or is there a degree of leniency where you can argue in court, listen, I didn't make the fire. Just because I went and I added a couple of twigs to the fire, you're gonna obligate me to pay $1 trillion for the damages?
It's like you said to Yesh, no? When the fire goes out, maybe you made it strong enough.
Okay, I don't know. You're right, I don't know. We got to go to Shulchan Aruch. I don't recall any distinction between the two. I really do not recall any distinction between the two. I do not know. I don't know Choshen Mishpat at all. I don't know anything at all. But this is what he's saying. He's saying over here, he's touching upon this principle. Is this lahalacha? Is it not lahalacha? Is there a din of a gromo, a garmi? These are very complicated questions. I don't know the answer, but I'm just reading you through here what it says. Yesh, we have a question. We have a problem. In Mishpatim, the Targum has a different translation for the exact same word than what he does in Parshas in Kisisa. And he gives an answer. Yeshoimim, Shalael Mudubar Behamaschil, the beginner. Lahadlik, the person that begins light, Beham Tsis Hoesh, the kindling of the fire, meaning striking the match. Avulkan, Loi Sivarun Bol Leesr Gam Lohoi Sif. Not only is a person going to be chayiv misa for making a fire for the very first time, he's going to be chayiv misa even if he adds eitzim, wood, oichoymer, acher, matter, le'esh, to a pre-existing fire. That's kayamis. Okay, that's number one. Number two, Atkan. Who said this? Who's the one that said this chiddush? He quotes over here from Amnon. Who's he quoting from over here? I don't know. He's not telling us. I don't know who he's not. Doesn't really say who he's quoting. Atkan. I don't know. Atkan. Who's he quoting from? I don't know. Okay, next idea. Aval b'meniach liva mashikvar hudlak me'er of Shabbos. Now, what about this is touching upon from the Baitoisim, the Stoikim and the Baitoisim. Okay, what they took the Torah very literally in a corrupt fashion, and they held that on Shabbos you're not allowed to have shalant. You're not allowed to have on Shabbos hot soup. Why not? You're not allowed to have electricity on Shabbos. Well, electricity is not really fire, but you're not allowed to derive benefit from fire, even if you don't touch it. If there is a fire that is burning on Shabbos, it is forbidden to derive any benefit. Who says this? The Apikorsim say this. Where do they get this nonsense from? This pasuk, lo sevaru esh b'chol moshva sechbiyam haShabbos, which they interpret to mean, do not, they interpret it in a corrupt way, do not derive benefit from the burning, from the combustion of fire on Shabbos. In any circumstance, if your boiler, you can't have your conventional forms of heat on Shabbos because the boiler is producing fire. This fire, there's anything, any fire that produces benefit, that benefit you may not derive, you may not have on Shabbos. So he's saying over here that is considered apikorsis. Lahalacha, the only prohibition on Shabbos, fire, is to do one of two things. Is to either create a new fire or to add fuel to a pre-existing fire. But if you don't create the fire, and if you don't add fuel, you are not involved whatsoever in adding fuel to a pre-existing fire, it is 100% permitted to derive benefit from fire on Shabbos. And in fact, there are those who say the minhag of eating cholent on Shabbos comes just for this purpose, is to show that you are permitted to derive benefit from fire on Shabbos. That's why you eat cholent, to reject the apikursis of the karoim. Now you'll say, but anyway, we have fire because we have fire, we're having heat. Well, yeah, in the winter you have fire because yeah, you have a furnace and yeah, whatever, yeah, we have a boiler. Okay, but in ancient times, they didn't have in their homes boilers. They didn't have indoor plumbing. And in the winter, it was very cold in their homes. And in the summer, they didn't need it. So the only way, and they didn't necessarily have hot food for every meal. So they went out of their way to create a fire from before Shabbos that should remain lit over Shabbos so that they can derive benefit from this fire on Shabbos to reject the danger of Antignois Isoichoi, who produce had two students, Tzadok and Baitois, who made two religions which rejected Torah Shebal Peh and interpreted the Pasuk literally. This was a very great Torah to Klal Yisrael. So here he writes over here, Avol במניח ליבר מה שכבר חולק מערב שבס אין להם מעניין המיקרו כאן כלל, שבא, we're not discussing that, שבוודאי מותר, don't be misled. Like the Abikarsim, the thing lo sevaru esh means, you're not allowed to cause fire to remain lit over Shabbos. This goes back to the beginning of our shir, hifil. Maybe what it means is, maybe what the pasuk over here is saying is, what does it mean lo sevaru? Maybe it's lashon hifil. Don't erev Shabbos, do not set up a system where you're going to cause fire to exist on Shabbos for the purpose of deriving benefit from it, even though you will not do anything on Shabbos itself to kindle that fire or to derive benefit from that fire or to enhance that fire. That's incorrect. That's apikorsis. We're not discussing that at all. Shabbavadai mutter. It is 100% permitted before Shabbos to put into motion a system where a fire will be burning on Shabbos. Udeloi, not like the das ha-karoim. The karoim is a general term referring to lashon of mikra. Mikra, they read the psukim literally. They do not believe in Torah Shabbal Peh. And there are two categories of the karoim, the baitoisim and the tzedokim. Both were leaders that were students of Amtignois ish soichai. Aval, that's the second point. Das hanetziv lefi pshuto. Now is the third point. According to the Netziv, shal mikra, he in the Netziv, kedarko, always takes a very literal reading of the pasuk, and he understands this to mean that the pasuk is coming to teach you, the pasuk over here is coming to teach you, yesh isur lishtamish lemeleches hamishkan afilu eish shenishara deluka milifne Shabbos. This is an awesome, awesome chiddush. What he says here, I never heard this before. And he's saying over here that, again, what was the original question? What's the juxtaposition of Shabbos, sheishes yom te'ase melacha, to what's going to be coming now in the next psukim, the binyan hamishkan. Moshe Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu how to build a mishkan, and now Moshe is coming down from Shamayim and telling Klal Yisrael all of the instructions what to do. And so go on, tell us exactly how they did it. What's going on over here? So what did Rashi say? Now we're getting a little bit into the machlokes. Rashi says, what did Rashi? Rashi says over here, Sheshes Yomim, Hitim Lohem Azharas Shabbos Letzivim Lechsa Mishkan, Loimar, She'enoi Doiche Shabbos. But there's more to it. According to what the Netziv says, can't read this in the Targum, but the Netziv says is, when you continue to resume the construction on Sunday morning, make sure the fire that you're going to use to melt down the metals, they're going to need fire in the Melechas HaMishkan when they're going to produce the various parts of the Mishkan. They're going to have to melt down metal. They're going to use a lot of fire. Make sure that fire was not an operation over Shabbos. Like today, you leave the pilot light. Make sure you turn off the pilot light from the machines before Shabbos begins. If it was for your own private use, you can use it. You can use the fire and the fire on Shabbos. Just don't kindle the fire. Don't add fuel to the fire. But you can use it on Shabbos, and you can certainly use it mitzvah Shabbos. You can certainly use it mitzvah Shabbos. But for the Beis HaMikdash, for the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, that you can't do. If this fire passed through Shabbos, the pilot light was on through Shabbos, this Shabbos, this fire, it's good for you, it's good for an ordinary person, but it's not fit for the building of the Mishkan. For the building of the Mishkan, you have to light a fresh fire. That's a tremendous chiddush to say such a thing. And think about this. We go back to Rashi. Mitzoya Makipurim. Havdalah. What is the halacha? Mitzoya Makipurim. You can only make a bracha boirei me'oirei ha'esh on a fire that bedafka was lit before Yom Kippur and remained lit all the way through Yom Kippur until now. And now you're going to derive benefit. Yom Kippur is over. I'm going to look at my nails. I'm going to derive benefit from this fire. But this fire was Mechalel Shabbos. The fire was Mechalel Shabbos. The fire was lit on Shabbos. So you're going to say, that's Abikursus. That's Abikursus to say that. That's the Karoyim. The Karoyim say you're not allowed to go and cause fire to remain on Shabbos and you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos. Okay, fine. But it's not pure Apikorsis according to the Netziv, because although that's Apikorsis for the individual, but for the Beis HaMikdash, for a holy matter, for Davasha B'Kedusha, you're not allowed to use it. You can use it for mundane purposes. Obviously, when Yom Kippur is over, we don't say that. Now, here's what's so interesting now. Rashi begins by telling us, and Rashi is very mysterious. Rashi is not, he's playing around, he's dancing around this whole issue. But Rashi begins, Vayakel Moshe l'mocharas Yom HaKippurim. It's right after Yom Kippur. And Rashi over here is telling us, and Yom HaKippurim is called the Shabbosoin. Yom Kippur is the ultimate Shabbos. It's the only one that's called Shabbos Shabbosoin Yom HaKippurim. And Moshe says, Lo'isivadu esh b'chol moshvoseichem b'yema Shabbos. So Mitzvah Yom HaKippurim, you make Havdalah, it has to be b'dafka, a candle that was lit from before Yom HaKippurim. The fire has to go all the way through. But for the Beis HaMikdash, that fire cannot be used. So if you combine, what I'm trying to say is, if you combine what the Netziv says with the opening Rashi, when the Tziv learns Pshat in the Pasuk, it's not really related to the Targum. It's not really relevant to the Targum. Then the Tziv says, what's Tutsukh? What's going on over here? Shei Shabim Tiyasim Lacha Yom HaShashay Yom HaShashay Shabbos Yom HaShashay Kol Yisim Lacha Yumas Loi Tzivadu Eish Chol Yom HaShabbos. Then the Tziv says, what's going on over here? Moish Rabbeinu over here is telling them, don't use the fire that was on over Yom Kippur. Even though there obviously is an inyan which needs further understanding, that over Yom Kippur you bedafka want fire to remain lit over Yom Kippur and derive benefit. Bedafka. You bedafka. Chazal created a halacha that they desperately want the fire from before Yom Kippur to continue with you to Mitzvah Yom Kippur. There's something very mystical about that. Notice, it's like a fire is a neshama, Ner Elokim Nishmas Adam, and Yom Kippur is to keep a person alive. Yom Kippur comes to be mechaper, to extend the light from before Yom Kippur to after Yom Kippur. Bedafka, that ish that I wanted you to preserve from before Yom Kippur, bedafka, that eish, you can't use for the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Mishkan. That fire you have to extinguish, and you have to fresh. That's what the Netziv says. That's how we learn Pshat in this Pasuk. And when you take that Netziv and you contrast to what it says, L'moch L'tzim HaKippurim, Kishir HaBen Ahar, it's very interesting because that's the only time you ever have in halacha such a concept to preserve fire over Shabbos. The dafka, preserve it all the way through Shabbos and benefit from it. But when it comes to build the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, loy sevadu esh b'chol moshe sam, that fire is not qualified. You have to be mamshich. But the structure you make for Hashem has to be fresh. Your neshama is a continuation from the past. But when you are going to contribute, There has to be a separation. Your product has to be new and fresh. All right, we'll stop over here. It's late. Thank you very much for coming. Have a good night. And Yirat Hashem, I'll see you tomorrow.
Good night, and thank you very much.
Good night, good night, good night. Good to hear you. Mr. and Mrs. Glatter, it's good to hear you. How are you? You're going to be home for Pesach?
For Pesach, we're going to the children.
Ah, very good.
My daughter and my son.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Wonderful, okay, very good.
How what do you do for Pesach?
I stay home. How was your Purim?
It was quiet. It was okay. Yeah. We stayed home. We didn't go anywhere.
Okay.
We were recipients, not givers.
Okay.
We gave it.